Lee Carsley has been named, although I'm not sure.
He's not coming now, is he?
Well, that's the thing. Or Big Sam is the other one.
It's always Big Sam, isn't it?
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Former Kildare footballer Andrew McLaughlin is with us this morning. Andrew, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, gents.
What was your take when you saw the comments from the Irish Examiner podcast that everybody wants to manage Man United?
Well, first of all, I was disgusted because I'm a Liverpool man. But yeah, look, I was of the same opinion as you. I thought it was completely inappropriate for a sitting manager of any county to speak the way he spoke, and in effect courting another job while being a manager of Kildare. I thought it was disrespectful to the players. I have no issue with Jack and what he has done and his commitment levels, but I just thought the tone and the language used in that interview was completely inappropriate. And I thought Kildare County Board missed the beat here, because I genuinely would have had serious issues and call him in for a meeting, because that's no way for a city manager of any county to act. And like, I mean, it kind of, I think we missed the beat in terms of bringing him in to have a conversation and setting the tone for any future managers and setting the tone for Kildare football. We may not have the tradition that Kerry has, but we are a mad footballing county and we have ambitions and you know, an easy life, as Jack might call it. You know, maybe it's not so easy now.
Yeah, the problem with what happened, the way it happened for Kildare County Board, as you rightly point out, the statement was talking about how they had been... Jack had previously indicated that the personal impact of the commute from South Kerry was taking its toll, but that his desire was to continue in the role and to build on the progress achieved over the previous couple of years. To this end, he and his management team were at an advanced stage of planning for 2022, but he has now decided not to stay on for a third year. It's like, we've just been jilted here by somebody who wasn't really in love with us in the first place. That's what that statement, and that's what that paragraph in the statement is. It's like, we're completely underprepared for this. He'd already started planning for 2022. All of a sudden, the journey is an issue. It's like, it's not a great look for Kildare County Board, is it?
No, completely it's not, you know. And look, Jack is a very experienced manager, and I find it hard to believe that this was maybe a slip of the tongue or, you know.
Oh, we've lost you there, Andrew. Someone's ringing you.
I have with it.
Sorry, you were just saying there, you find it hard to believe it was a slip of the tongue.
Yeah, it's not believable, you know, to feel that he actually got caught off guard in that radio interview, and he didn't really mean or meant to use the language he used. He's a clever man. He's on the block a long time in this game, and I think he knows what he was doing there. And maybe the round trip is significant. That has to be a factor. But you're only 2 years into a 3-year contract. If at the end of the season you knew that it's going to be an issue, you'd try and give your county board as much notice. So, look, I have no issue with Jack. I wish him all the best. But, like, I mean, the Kerry gig is a fantastic job to get. Would you want to be anywhere else? They're direct quotes from the man, you know.
Yeah.
Football's tradition in Kerry. You know, if you want players coming through, the Kerry football team, everything's set up for him. If you want an easy life, go coach somewhere else. Doesn't reflect well on sitting manager to say that about Kildare football.
No,
I had a big issue with that when he said it. So the Kildare County Board, from my point of view, missed an opportunity here to bring him in, say, look, we heard the interview, play it to him, ask him to explain himself, and then say, look, thanks, we appreciate what you've done, but we're going to move on here, and then make a public statement to the effect of, look, we may not have the tradition that Kerry have, but we are serious about our football. And we want a manager who is serious about us and take us to the next step and give a manager a 3 or 5 year plan to do that for us. You know, that's my opinion on it.
If you put on your playing hat again, Andrew, what would you have thought if you were Daniel Flynn, for example, in that dressing room? A man with huge talent, huge ambition, huge designs on winning a Leinster championship soon. What would you have felt when you saw those quotes from Jack?
I would have been disgusted for whether it was one or to number 31, because, I've no issue with Jack. I suppose to make that clear, and I suppose he's liked and in that regard, and he's obviously committed to it, and he was involved in Moorfield to a degree, and his sons were involved in Moorfield, so he's well got, you know, in Kildare. But from my point of view, there's no way that would have happened in Kerry. There's no way he would have said what he said on Kerry Radio looking for the Cork job. You know, he would have been ran out of the county, as he said himself. So from my point of view, I thought after what he said, the position was untenable. Because, look, I'm a proud Kildare man, but we have to be realistic. And if you think about where we are, you know, I think you have to be very honest with yourself and say, where are we as a county and why aren't we further? And was last year such a good year? You know, like, we beat Cork. You know, the last quarter we could have lost it. We lost to Clare at home to take control of that Division One group. We didn't. You know, we needed a result between Cork and Clare to look after a result to get us into a match against Meath. Yes, we played well against Meath. But then we kind of got over the line with a Neil Flynn goal against Offaly. Again, Neil Flynn played super against Westmeath. If Westmeath had their shooting boots on, we would have been out the gate that day. So, and then a goal from Dan Flynn, which is one magic moment, took the bad look off a scoreline, which would have been 11 points down to 8. And are we happy to be within 8 points of Dublin?
Yes.
In my opinion,
yes, we were. Andrew, to be honest, the thing that annoyed me most about the whole Jack O'Connor era was essentially he came out afterwards and went, geez, that wasn't bad, lads. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but like, you know, if we'd had a bit more composure there at the end, we could have made a right game of it. I'm like, have some ambition. Yeah. Like, I understand that it's Dublin and they're unbeatable, but it turned out they weren't. And you'd seen Meath have a go at them in that third quarter. And when you have a go at them, maybe they might be beatable. It'd be good to find out.
Yeah. But like you have to have, like any player that's on that panel, that's sitting in that bus, that's in that dressing room, have to have an unwavering belief that actually, you know what, we actually can do this. Because any little bit of doubt, whether it's a guy who is even not on the actual players that are named to actually play on the day, if they don't have the belief that the guy sitting in front of them can come on and make a difference, or the guy wearing the jersey can actually get the job done, that seeps in. And I don't care what anyone says, that's there subconsciously. You need to believe when you put your head in the pillow at night that, you know what, I can't wait to get cut into these boys tomorrow and turn them over. And I know I can do it. And if you fall short, so be it. That's sport. That's football. But I'd rather die trying than not actually have a full cut at them at all. And I don't mind setting up tactically, you know, to get ourselves into the game and reduce Dublin's impact in the initial couple of minutes and obviously in the championship quarter. But after that, you have to throw the shackles off and go, let's go for it. No.
Can I ask you, I'm not very close to the county board, and every county always has issues with its county board until they win All-Irelands. And even then, they'll have issues with the county board for whatever reason. But I've definitely heard stuff about the under-20s having to fight for expenses. I've definitely heard stuff about proper reports being done about what needs to happen in the future of Kildare GAA. They get the report and it gets shelved and none of the recommendations are actually implemented. What's your understanding of how the game is being run and how long-term planning is actually being implemented?
Yeah, I suppose like the first thing to say with all county boards, including Kildare across Ireland, is that, you know, these positions are kind of voluntary, you know, and people give up a huge amount of time and effort to do it. And that being said, sometimes the counties now that have leapfrogged and have held a position of dominance have people in positions of, say, control or authority in the county board that are like for like private sector roles, i.e. a CEO of a company and a CEO on a county board, a financial controller and a financial controller on a county board, an operations manager in a company, an operations manager on a county board. We don't have that as far as I'm aware in our setup. You know, now obviously they're very, very capable individuals in there in the different sectors of the county board, and there's some wonderful people, and I'm not knocking them whatsoever, but from a change in the guard point of view, individual managers or coaches, or, you know, like Johnny Doyle involved in underage setup, and that, you know, you've got Cormac Kerwin there involved in operations. People can do certain things on an individual basis, but it comes from the top down, and I don't feel that we're run like a business and accountability like a business, which is needed if we're gonna jump. Because
from an expenditure point of view, like I don't know where we are in that ranking. And it's one thing spending money; it's another thing getting value for that. And there are strategic decisions that need people with the same skill set to be able to implement them and have an overall view to be able to have a long-term strategic plan. And I suppose to give an example of what I felt this year, and I was kind of open about this, was a very short-term view. Was Brian Flanagan is the manager of the under-20s. He's a good friend of mine. Played with him for years. Mark Scanlon was a strength and conditioning coach, played with him for years with Kildare, and Emmett Bolton, so played with him for years, and he was in the selector. So there's three guys who were involved with Kildare senior football who are now involved in 20. So you'd say, okay, that's a plus from the Kildare County Board that they chose individuals when these guys put their hands up, right? So that's a plus. But then a negative is that when Brian Flanagan looked to have certain players released, they weren't available for him. So you had guys who were involved with the Kildare senior team that weren't able to play for him. And the main individual here was Alex Byrne. And I felt so sorry for Alex Byrne getting caught up in this, because he's only a young guy. And I suppose he might have perception of what people thought of him. Maybe they thought it was him making the call. But the Kildare chairman should have said to Jack, look, Jack, this guy's only a young chap. This is last year in the 20s. He's very important for the team. He's a fellow peers, and the management have him in place. And you know what? It might help us get it over the line against Westmeath, and for them players to get momentum and help bring them forward. Because ultimately, surely the goal is to bring as many players forward that can play senior football with Kildare. And it's a very short-term view that Alex wasn't released to play on the midweek game for the 20s. They lost by 2 points. They'll put their hands up and say they should have got the job done themselves. But you take any senior player out of a setup when the game comes to the crunch time, they're the guys you want on the ball to help calm the storm.
Yeah.
And he wasn't available.
But that's what happens when you have...
and couldn't play the team.
Well, what happens when
that's short-term view.
But it's always going to be short-term when you have a manager from outside, because his gig was exclusively the senior gig. And you bake in that issue... from the get-go. We're almost out of time here, Andrew. Very quickly, the contenders. Is Davy Burke the only realistic contender at this point, or are there other contenders as well who are worth talking to?
Like, obviously Davy has to be talked to and has to be given a fair audience, you know. But there's Glenn who had put his hand up for this role previously and was taken away from. Davey felt the same, because obviously he released a statement of a similar wording. You know, you have other individuals, like I mentioned, Brian Flanagan, you've got Anthony Rainbow, who's obviously done very well in Dublin. But Tom Gribben is there, who's involved with Westmeath. He's obviously involved in the Kildare setup now. And my gut on this is that the county board would probably choose Tom, because they know him well. He's a very successful businessman, very good at planning, but they know him quite well because he's been involved for the last number of years. And it might be the easy decision is for a better word. I'm not saying anything against Tom, you know, because he's actually my minor manager when I was minor. But my gut on it is that's who they will appoint. But like, I think the Kildare County Board have to reach out to Davey and Glenn, but I don't think it's their job to reach into the county board, because they've already set for interviews and it was a little bit thrown back in their face. And you can feel for Glenn in particular kind of going, well, why would I put myself in a situation to be refused by the same individuals? And Davey is similar, you know, he felt hard done by. He went off and managed Sarsfields. They think they have a very high regard for him, went off and done great things in Wicklow. But them two individuals will definitely rock the boat in terms of what they're looking for and what they demand to try and push Kildare football forward, which is a good thing. But my gut on it is that maybe they'll choose Tom to push forward with. But look, all we have to do is take one quick look at the hurling manager, you know, with David Hurley, what he has done for his players. He's not local, you know, like,
no, that's still the thing.
Kildare
that's the thing.
Have the job with. But he still rallied all them players and the communities, and the hurlers got a real buzz going in their camp and got the momentum for it. And the hurling chairman done great work, and it's very impressive, you know, what can be done.
Yeah.
So you can imagine if you had a Kildare man at the helm with the passion that them showed.
the line is just breaking up there at the last moment there, but we definitely understand exactly what you're saying there. Andrew McLaughlin, thanks a million for joining us this morning. Just for the record, David Herd is doing a brilliant job, a massive supporter of him. So this isn't about no one from outside can be influential or can help. It's like you've got to find the right person. You've got to find people who are actually committed to you for the medium term at least. Like, anyway.
And also,
we never get to talk about Kildare in this show.
I mean, it's great.
The only reason we get to talk about it is because they had a Kerry manager, and you insisted that we do.
That's why you bring in a foreign manager, because you get talked about in the media. That's the whole point about it.
When McGeaney was manager, every Kildare match was televised for a couple of years in a row, and they would happily end up going through the back door. And so all of a sudden, you were watching matches with Kildare. Every single game, there was a couple of years there where I was like, "What's the, obviously the box office?" McGeaney was box office. That was it.
Yeah, yeah, he certainly was. Like, I guess what you need when you're bringing in a manager from a different county is their complete and utter buy-in to all levels of the sport in which they're involved in. Are they going to allow the under-20 manager to come in and look at a few sessions? The same with the minor manager, a couple of the under-20 players to come in and sample the lifestyle of a senior inter-county footballer.
The Stephen Kenny approach.
Well, exactly. There are a lot of similarities between these two conversations. It does feel that there is a lot of what Dion was saying earlier about Stephen Kenny, I think, can be said about Kildare and indeed Kerry, to be quite honest with you. And I think a lot of what Andrew was saying about Kildare can actually apply to the Republic of Ireland as well. And in fairness, it does seem that the Stephen Kenny decision in the first place was maybe a realisation that appointing from within, appointing somebody who has been through the system and understands the system, is vital to the success in the long run for the senior team. And I think that goes for inter-county football and hurling too.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see what Paddy Bonner thinks in all this, given that he's now a non-executive director on the board and who is somebody who can have a long-term view of football.